Hello and welcome to the PC Gamer Podcast. I am your host and editor, Ross Atherton. Excuse me for the slight cold which may cause me to sniffle throughout this particular recording. But joining me today in the PC Gamer studio and being much more clear and less coldy are...
Oh yeah, Tim Edwards, deputy editor.
I really hope you're only going to say that the once.
I'm sure it won't happen again.
And?
Tom Francis, second editor.
Hello, Tom. And?
I'm Craig Pearson, news editor.
Hello, Craig. Good. Excellent. Well, we're all here. And apparently this is our 27th podcast, which is quite literally one more than the last time we...
Yeah, it's not a very significant number.
That. No, but it's...
Is that as old as Tom, or is Tom 28?
I'm 27, actually, yeah.
We've been doing the podcast for 27 years.
Yep.
It's amazing.
I know.
Yep.
End of season one.
I apologise for being a little bit off on the first episode when I was a newborn baby.
Yeah, yeah. It was a bit, you were crying a lot as usual. yes.
Grow up, Francis.
Speaking of end of season one, PC Gamer is 200 issues old.
Great.
Yes, marked by the exciting new issue that will be hitting newsstands right about now. We don't call them newsstands, do we? That's a bit of an Americanism. Sorry about that. Shop shelves. 200th issue of PC Gamer.
Shelves are our finest British shops.
We've been running since, I don't know, the year...
1809.
Yeah. Or
it's been a long haul.
1993, in other words. So the new issue's got all sorts of nice things in it.
Ross, is the gibberish you may have just kind of listened to. We're 200 issues old. Ross is making jokes about us being 200 years old. It's very funny.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Laugh. Laugh. They got that. Now, this is your cue to laugh. Thank you very much.
You'll have to do a lot of it because that joke kind of runs for quite a long time.
Basically,
the next 2 months, you can expect that joke more or less constantly.
Yeah. It seemed funny at the time. I don't know.
Yeah. That's because I suggested it.
Right. Yeah. So, what are we going to talk about in this month's podcast?
We should talk a bit about the cover of the magazine and the feature of it. Because it's quite a big game, Bioshock 2.
Yes, Bioshock 2 has been announced, and it looks like Bioshock with some more things.
I'm really excited about
Way to tease.
My new cover lines, which is quite a good game, which will be going forward. We'll just have, this could be reasonable.
Relatively promising.
Yes, this could be fun.
No possible fun alert. Concern.
Yes. I want to talk about stuff that's in that issue, including Borderlands and a review of a game that not many people have heard of that scored incredibly well and ends on a song. Spoilers.
Yes. Tom's going to sing the song.
Yes.
You might have to remind me how it goes.
You're no fun anymore.
It's pretty much the best game of the year so far, do you reckon?
Should we tell them what we're talking about?
Yeah.
I think we should wait. So they
we'll wait.
Okay, yeah. Tension there.
A bit about what we're playing elsewhere.
Yep.
We'll talk a bit about the community, including special Twitter questions as submitted by people following us on Twitter.
Do you see how up-to-date we are, people? We use that Twitter thing.
The interwebs.
Which I totally understand.
It's not difficult. It's just,
It's the whole app thing going and on. Who follows what. And
it's fine. It's not complicated.
I think it's because Twitter's really simple that loads of people think they don't understand it, when in fact they do.
Right. Oh, good. It's always nice to know that. When you think you don't know something, then you realise you do.
Basically, what we're saying is you do understand Twitter.
Completely.
Yes.
Good. Well, that's
what are you doing right now?
I'm Twittering?
No, you're podcasting, but you'd have written, I'm podcasting. You wouldn't have written, I'm Twittering.
Oh, okay. So it's...
That would be
if we were doing it right now, we'd have wrote, I'm Twittering, and everyone would have wrote something back like, I'm
Lol
podcasting,
move.
Yes.
How interesting. See,
and then Stephen Fry would talk about you and Jonathan Ross.
It's 2009, people. Haven't we moved on to sort of beyond just saying what we're doing and people going, lol? That's how far...
That's more what
I like, though, is when people have really boring friends and they look at their Twitter accounts and they're saying really boring things and they blame Twitter for this. God, Twitter's so boring. It's so rubbish. No, the people you know are dull.
And then we could talk about PC Gamer 2.0.
Yes. Yes, very exciting, interesting changes to PC Gamer. If you've got the new issue, you'll have a little insight into what that may be.
Sure, it's more than 2.0. I mean,
we shall
2.01.
How many revisions has PC Gamer been through? Probably about this will be about the fifth.
Yeah. Wow, we're 5.0.
Awesome. Yeah,
we are actually the equivalent of World of War, Call of Duty 5.
Call of Duty, right?
It's not really a good sign, is it?
No, it's not, is it?
Less blood and
but we do
and
have a good co-op
screaming Germans. We're all about the co-op.
Right, should we talk about Bioshock 2?
We should probably start now, actually. We should probably actually start
the
podcast. Yeah, yeah, okay, press the button.
Hello and welcome to the PC Gamer Podcast. I'm your host, Tom Francis.
That's pretty good, actually. Yeah. You're trying to do me out of a job.
Podcast coup.
Let's talk about Bioshock 2 then, given that it is the cover story and the most exciting story of the 200th issue.
Probably ever.
We could have banged on for hours and hours in that about how wonderful we are for reaching issue 200, but we're going to kind of stop now and focus on the games which we think are the important things, not us.
Computer games.
Computer games.
Oh yeah.
I knew it would come.
So Bioshock 2, Tom, is it going to be any good?
Yes.
Is it mildly promising?
It's mildly promising. I would say there's no real cause for concern.
this
PC Gamer exclusive.
New games journalism. This is how we roll from now on.
So
yeah, it's quite good. Yeah.
From what I understand, like the big news is, A, the guy who's doing it is good at this.
Yeah.
Good at this kind of thing.
The creative director... is the term, is Jordan Thomas, who did the Fort Frolic level from Bioshock 1, which is probably the best, and the Cradle level from D3, which is definitely the best in D3. And it's very interesting to see what he does when he is completely in control of, you know, everything about the game.
Do you know what Kieran Gillen told me over booze on Wednesday night?
Was it about your mother?
No, it was nothing about my mum, actually. Which
did he show you the photos as well?
Which is quite rare for Kieran. He said that The Cradle was inspired by the article on fear that he wrote in PC Gamer back in about 2001.
That didn't come up in the piece that we did on it, did it? I thought it was inspired by a real place that was...
Well, it was...
Maybe Kieran's article was inspired by Kieran's article.
Yeah. But basically, Kieran is the force behind... The Cradle, Thief 3, Bioshock and Bioshock 2 is what I'm driving at.
So, creative director of Bioshock 2, Kieran Gillen, told me that. yes, you're playing a Big Daddy. You're playing the first ever Big Daddy. Although, curiously, it's not a prequel. You're after all the events of Bioshock 1 by 10 years.
Okay.
Rapture is totally fucked. Everything's going to hell. It's flooding.
Hang on. It was going to hell 10 years before.
Yeah, this is the suspicious thing.
It's going
thing,
very
isn't it?
Slowly to hell.
Like the whole of Bioshock is all, it's going to flood. It's going to flood any second. Yeah,
any
and the whole game
now,
ends without
10
it happening.
Years later.
And then 10 years later, it's actually, I mean, the pitch is that, you know, it's all, Rapture's got a lot worse in the last 10 years, but it's held up remarkably well. I think if you're going
to. Still leaking.
If you're going to critique the engineering feat that Rapture represents, then actually, pretty damn good to last another 10 years after that point.
There was water leaking into Rapture throughout Bioshock. Is there somebody somewhere bailing furiously, just kind of scooping it out
is that,
quickly?
Or was it Bill McDonough or something? There is an engineer guy whose logs you keep finding.
Yes, who's just bailing.
The I have a science question.
How do you bail when you're underwater?
If there's
an airlock.
There must be an oxygen-producing machine or an air-producing machine somewhere.
The plants,
in Bioshock,
man.
The plants.
Arcadia.
Well, presumably that's why it can stay stable, because it's producing lots of air.
There was that point where all the plants died, though, wasn't there?
Oh, yeah.
But I think you saved it after that, didn't you?
Yeah.
Where did the sunlight come from for the plants?
It was channeled. It was imported in
Batman.
Okay.
Pixies.
So, what I'm trying to say is that maybe the air's just keeping the water out.
Look, I think we're going to have to settle on the fact that their science is completely made up.
Yep. Yeah. And really, that's not the crux of Bioshock 2.
No.
Does a guy wake up and go, wow, this is awesome. 10 years later, it's still standing.
You're playing a Big Daddy. You have a drill for a fist. And, it's actually not your fist because you can switch it out and you can use the enormous rivet gun that they had as well, which nails splices to stuff. And, you're just kind of this ridiculous powerhouse who can take on loads of splices. And one of the first things they showed us was... kind of drills through a couple of people's faces and that sort of stuff. That stuff looks decent, but not quite right. You know, you can kind of tell that the challenges of getting a Big Daddy combat to work in first person.
First person melee combat, no one's ever done it right.
Haven't been completely overcome.
No, Fear and Dark Messiah did it really well.
And that game Condemned.
There's also Xenoclash just coming up. That looks fun as well.
That was just a starter of a conversation.
The amusing part of... that kind of combat this time is that after you've killed a couple of splicers, the rest just kind of run. Just kind of get the idea and flee. So it's more about taking on big groups of them. And I think the main change to the way you actually play is going to be that something Jordan Thomas said he didn't really like about... Actually, I think it might have been the art guy, Hogarth.
Hogarth
de la Plante. Who wears a scarf and looks incredibly fancy.
La-di-da.
He's the lead art director, I guess.
He's also a character in Broken Sword or something.
He sounds like a character. Yeah. Sort of, you know.
Apparently, he's Biggles. Named.
Sounds like Chair of Cecil invented him.
Apparently, he's named after the real the Hogarth, the painter.
Awesome.
Anyway, he was saying one of the things he didn't like about Bioshock is that a lot of the time you're kind of things jump out at you and it's kind of react to big horror scare. And while that works from a horror perspective, it's not so much fun for combat because you pretty much just fire whatever weapon you have in your hand. You yeah. don't really get a lot of tactical thought out of that. And so one of the best bits of Bioshock, obviously, was taking on the big daddies because they were neutral at first and you could plan how you're going to do it, subvert the elements of the environment like turrets and cameras and stuff, and then, you know, enrage some splicers to attack it and bring the security in and all that stuff. And so they kept all that. You can still, you're still fighting big daddies even though you are yourself a big daddy. And you've got plasmids still this time. But they've also added sections where after you've... When you save a little sister from her big daddy... Well, save. abduct. you can kill her on the spot and get some Adam, or take her to a safe vent and save her properly. Or you can adopt her and actually carry her on your back, walk around for a little while, and she will point out Adam-rich corpses that you can set her down and harvest from. When you do that, it all the splicers kind of smell the Adam being extracted and just come flooding in. But the idea is you get to choose where you do that, you get to choose when you do that, and you get to spend some time setting up the environment beforehand so you can cool. set down cyclone traps, you know, crossbow bolts and all that stuff.
I do find games in which you can plan ahead, just like the next minute ahead, incredibly satisfying.
Yeah.
And it's something I adore about Far Cry 2 in that you put a plan in action and, you know, half the time it works, half the time it goes completely tits up. But kind of that space where it's just about to work or it's just about to fail is a kind of a beautiful thing in games. So that kind of really excites me.
Yeah.
What's with the Soviets? Because I heard
that's
the
Soviets... completely untrue.
Just bollocks.
Somebody just made that shit up.
Okay.
But the your nemesis is actually the big sister.
Yep.
Don't spoil it for us, but tell us a little
bit. Well, she is an ex-little sister. that much might be obvious from the name. Yes. But she's kind of grown up, and all her... as you might know, the little sisters are psychologically conditioned to do what they do. They're just kind of brainwashed, basically, and so are big daddies. And so as she's grown up, most of the little sisters are kind of saved or harvested or, you know, otherwise lost. And she's one of the few who grew up with all her conditioning still stuck in her brain and just couldn't kind of make sense of the world. And she's gone quite clearly mad. But because she's no longer... She can't be a little sister because she's, you know, an adult and the big daddies don't want to kind of escort her around. She's tried to turn herself into a big daddy instead. And that's why she looks the way she does.
So, ultimate question, though. Would you?
Could you, I think, is the more practical question.
Excellent. Well, we'll leave people to analyse the cover art and make their own decision.
When you kill about their little sisters, do they... Puss out this time?
They didn't show that, but they did say that you'll get to kind of see what happens. There won't be like a, you know, a dead girl's corpse or anything, but you will get a better idea of what the hell is going on.
When the original Bioshock was released, I did see them, like an animation they had where they were brutal.
At a preview event. Yeah.
It was, yes, I saw that. It was very close before the release of the game.
Yeah. Changed
and when it went for rating, a lot of the country's rating boards just said, "You're joking. No chance."
Well, their story, I asked them about it because I went to a preview event shortly after you did, Tim, and saw the kind of slightly less shocking version. And I asked them specifically about that because I remember you describing that scene to me. And they said, "Oh, pish, you know, we've gone through loads of different iterations of that. We've always had, you know, five different versions knocking around. It was just whatever happened to be in the game on that day." And they insist that they went with the other version just purely out of reasons of taste, and you know it's not really important to see a little girl die to the impact.
And to be fair, it's not, and I think, you know, no one wants to kind of watch that, and I think if you bought a game
it is
so you could snap the necks of little sisters, that would be a bit weird.
But it is hilarious to hear like the braying of nerds saying, "We want to kill little children, what the fuck, why aren't you there to snap their necks and see them writhe in pain?"
That's always the thing about
that's why game developers will never say, "We changed our game because of the ratings boards." They would never say that because there'd be too much of an uproar.
But because you used to be able to, I think you used to be able to kill kids in the old Fallout games.
It was patched out before release of Fallout 2.
Okay, because that was like, I remember some of the Fallout, kind of the ultra Fallout fanboys kind of screaming on about how the fact
that you wouldn't, 10 years.
You wouldn't be able to kill kids in Fallout 3, and that is not, that is a major problem, and I want to be able to kill kids. Well, really? Really?
I was playing Shogo around a mate's house years and years back when it was new, and it was my mate Pete, who's slightly deranged. And, just in the middle of a firefight, I accidentally shot a woman who was waiting at a train station with her young son, and I kind of sort of stopped and thought, oh, fuck. And Pete said, kill it, don't leave orphans.
We are sick puppies.
I think the demo of Syndicate, not the final game, let you flamethrower. There were women pushing prams, kind of little strollers and things, and you could flamethrower the prams and the.
What was I reading about that CNC Generals level that got cut?
You reviewed the.
When I reviewed CNC Generals, the review version had a level in where you went around murdering civilians with a poison tank.
Basically, that may be the one they've released.
It was that one, when it was released. Everyone said, you mentioned this level, my infamous intro, what the fuck were they thinking, in the review, and they took it out for release, and I asked EA about it, and they never said anything, never got back to me. The corporate machine swallowed my complaint. Anyway, we should move on. What else is in the issue 200? Another game that is forthcoming.
Borderlands. Which is really interesting story here that is really worth exploring. So, Borderlands is this apocalyptic shooter set on a planet. It's kind of four-player co-op. Of course it's set on a planet. That's
I was wondering about that.
Okay. This kind of almost like desert wasteland planet where...
not Earth, I think, is what you're driving at.
Where you and kind of three mates are searching for this kind of weird treasure in a vault somewhere.
You don't have to play it in co-op, do you?
You don't have to, but I think it's going to be
It looks really good in co-op.
But it's kind of... looks a bit Fallout-y, looks a bit kind of drivey around as well, that kind of thing. But they've essentially just completely redone the game's art style some 6 months before launch to make it look more like a graphic novel or more like a kind of a manga. And it looks incredible.
It does.
It looks absolutely beautiful.
Maybe there's just been too many post-apocalyptic games.
The thing is, it did lack its own real distinctive style before. Yeah. It looked like... it looked great. It looked fine. I mean, a bit brown.
I remember...
For a PC gamer, that's not...
I don't know if it was part of the E3 presentation, Microsoft's E3 presentation last year, but we were sitting watching an E3 presentation live, and game after game after game after game was just brown, grey, Fallout 3, and we're just all sick of it by the end of it.
The number of games in that presentation which were like bleak wastelands with a man running... through them in third person with a rifle strapped to his back.
There's Gears and there's Fallout. Yeah. There's just loads of them. Yeah. But it's a really smart choice and a really brave choice. Yeah. And you just got to kind of congratulate them.
Very smart. Very bold to admit that what you were doing wasn't going in the right direction. I've got really high hopes for Borderlands. I know a lot of people are a bit down on it. Think it's a bit grey, maybe a bit boring, but. I think it's really, really promising. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think it's
I'm not entirely sure it's a PC game. That's the only thing. I think it might feel like a bit of a console game.
There's a bunch of them.
I think you could have said that almost about Left 4 Dead, though. Was trying something similar. And it's incredibly popular on PC, and it's incredibly popular on the consoles.
Well, if you get it right...
You always call them
right.
Consoles.
Yeah.
the Xbox is essentially a console, isn't it? It's a PC and a non-sole.
And a non-sole?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Let's talk
about Nintendo console.
What PopCap did next.
It's a soulless console.
So Tom has reviewed a game called Plants vs. Zombies.
Plants vs. Zombies. It was nearly called Lawn of the Dead, which would have been so much better.
It would have been infinitely better.
I hear that there were issues.
George Romero is planning a new film called Lawn of the Dead.
I think it's that. It's not that... they would be in breach of copyright, but they wouldn't be able to copyright it themselves because it was too close to something else. Yeah. So they wouldn't be able to, push it as a brand and do all that shit.
So,
but that's just speculation, really.
Plants vs.
So,
Zombies,
by the way, this is the game we were talking about earlier.
Plants vs. Zombies is made by PopCap, who've done Peggle.
PopCap.
Peggle.
They mostly make games for consoles.
And Grim Adventures. And they are the smartest cartoon developers around.
They're a lot of fun. They have humour. They have strong humour.
They are based in Seattle, near Valve and near Penny Arcade. And the three of them have this kind of slightly incestuous kind of crossover all the time. PopCap games always come up on Steam now. There is some art in Plants vs. Zombies that seems at the very least inspired by Penny Arcade. I do wonder if it might actually be by Gabe. But yes, the game itself, brilliant.
What's it? What is it?
It's kind of a puzzler, basically, isn't it?
It's a defense game. You could call it a tower defense game, but it's not really doesn't really follow the traditional mechanics of those because those are about.
It's a lawn defense game.
Monsters kind of weaving their way through your maze, and you're kind of designing that to some extent, and it's kind of about monster movement and all that shit.
It's a game with
zombies. You have a lawn. There are some zombies. They're going to come from the right in a minute, and they will walk in a directly straight line. They won't try and avoid anything you put in their way
because they're zombies.
And you have to defend it by putting down plants. The plants are things like the most basic kind of offensive plant is the pea shooter, which is just spits peas at irregular intervals. If there's a zombie directly ahead of it, but it can't target anything.
That isn't these special ahead peas? Of it.
Large, completely zombies. Smooth and spherical peas.
Are they
peas.
Shot at a particularly high velocity? Because I'm just, just saying, you know, accepted wisdom on zombies, decapitate, you know,
they
with,
are
a, with a sharp implement.
Decapitated.
Throwing a pea is a hitherto undocumented method.
A large pea is thrown at head height until the head falls off.
Melons as well.
Like, they have been very careful about that. Every time a zombie dies, his head falls off first.
That's good.
Okay. Well, you've got to stick to some kind of logic.
Otherwise, it'd just be absurd.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
Does it have... It has melons in it. I've seen that.
Melon pulse, yep.
Melon pulse.
It's got zombies wearing rubber rings.
Yep. Zombies riding dolphins. Zombies on pogo sticks. Zombies in bobsleds.
It's got giant nuts.
Does it have daisies?
Not really.
Sunflowers.
No, it doesn't.
Sunflowers.
Sunflowers are your main... sun generation flower. Yes. You need sun to plant other plants, and not that much of it falls from the sky. Particularly at night, you find that not much sun at all falls from the sky at night.
So as inspired, but perhaps by Portal, it has a lovely song at the end as well.
Yes,
which we listened to at
lunchtime. Just discovered this, actually, because we had a couple of builds, and the first one that I actually completed it on didn't have this at the end. They added this later. It has... a song, which I imagine must be entitled There's a Zombie on Your Lawn.
I would expect that would be the logical title.
Sung by a sunflower.
Yes.
I haven't heard it yet, so you have to
It's rather beautiful. Yeah, you have to
It's
bet.
Lovely.
There is a... It has some kind of interludes from the zombies themselves, including the minor zombie saying, I like a tricycle.
Oh, yeah.
All in the...
Kind of worried we've just spoiled the ending for people. But, I mean, we haven't mentioned what happened in the portal very deliberately.
Oh, I should mention that you are the plants, generally, but there is a mini-game that you unlock later on where you can play as the zombies, and you're given, like, a garden that you have to overcome with a certain number
of... So you can play on both sides, you can play as the zombies. What you're saying is it's exactly like Left 4 Dead.
Is that Begooled?
No, that's... Begooled is a mashup of Plants vs. Zombies and Bejeweled, where... You put down, you're given a whole grid of plants, and it's like Bejeweled, and you can switch them, and if you match three, they disappear, and more ones fall in. But at the same time, zombies are walking into this grid and being shot at by these plants and blocked by them. And so you're just playing both games at once.
That all sounds a little bit hard.
Essentially, all this gibberish and madness that is going to be incredibly difficult to understand if we just explain it to you is a way of saying, just fucking play it because it's brilliant.
So it's on Steam and it's how many English
$20,
pounds?
$20, so...
Some pounds.
Yeah, £13-ish.
Very good. So we should talk about what else is in the 200th issue of PC Gamer magazine.
There's a big feature on 200 Reasons to Love PC Gaming.
200 Reasons, Tim? But why did we pick that number?
Because it's more than 199,
yes.
But slightly less than 200.
And also scientifically proves that there are only 200 reasons to love PC gaming, no more and no less.
And these are in ranked order.
The most important reason is...
PC Gamer?
Yes.
Yes.
That's right.
We should have done that just, you know.
Yeah. It could have been, the first one could be PC Gamer issue 1.
Was number 57 Outbreak?
No.
Actually, the 200th issue is... it's very sweet, actually. You wrote it, didn't you, Tim?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. It's you. Lovely PC gamers.
Spoilers.
OMG. So I wanted to talk about all of us give one reason why we actually love PC games or playing on the PC so much. Because essentially I've had a bad day today where everything I've touched has exploded,
yep.
Including a glass of water.
And you knocked your Oh, it was a Mac you knocked over yesterday.
Yeah, I knocked over my Mac yesterday. So why do you like playing on the PC, Ross?
Because of keyboards.
You like keyboards?
Keyboards are fucking brilliant. I love those games that just have endless keyboard controls. In fact, I'd love them to bring out like a new Comanche or a like a really accessible flight sim, but that uses all the keys. TIE Fighter, remember TIE Fighter?
Yeah.
Used most of the keys.
I found a tutorial yesterday written by a professional gamer. It's in two parts so far. I think it goes up to four parts on how to set your keyboard up to play StarCraft. Awesome. I forwarded it on to you.
Awesome. It actually involves taking certain keys out because they get in the way of you getting to.
Oh man, you could have a StarCraft keyboard, couldn't you?
Yeah. But one of the things the guy says is that gaming keyboards are shit because they have a load of shit on there that you don't need.
Yeah.
What you need is a caps lock key taken out.
Like, the problem with gaming keyboards is the more serious you are about games, the more accustomed you are to the standard keyboard, and the more kind of into that you are.
So you're all about the motherfucking hotkeys.
No, I'm about the motherfucking keys.
Just lukewarm keys.
I like the fact you can very easily. I mean, just simple things like, you know, I really hate typing in my name or saved game names on a console because you have to go up, click, 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 capital, lowercase, click, click, click. You can tap away. You can, even in a game that requires you to type something, you know, once in the blue moon, it's just so nice having it there.
That's why it's an absolute crime in games that have keypads. You have to enter something. And even on the PC version, you still have to select with up and down and enter to press the keypad. Fuck's sake, I've got a keypad right there.
Automatic 10% off in the PC game reviewing.
It's one of the cool things about Deus Ex, actually, is like all the terminals that you go into, you have to type the username and password properly, and you use the numeric keypad for the keypads.
Yeah.
So cool.
Anyway, what's your one?
PCs.
Mine would be a really tiny thing, actually, but it's something that really bothers me when I go back to consoles is... Well, this is something that PCs do that consoles never do, and it's particularly evident in PopCap games, which is you can basically at any point during Plants vs. Zombies or Peggle or Bejeweled hit Alt F4, right?
Yeah.
Close it immediately, and when you start it back up again, it'll be exactly where you left it. And I'm using folder share.
Yes, Mum, I'm doing some homework, Mum.
Oh, God, you see.
Did your mum ask if you're doing homework, Ross?
Yeah, she does, actually. Yeah.
I'm using Folder Share, which is a Microsoft service to kind of sync folders across different computers just in the background automatically. I've done that with my Plants vs. Zombies user data directory. And it just means that, like, I've never once lost even a second of progress from Plants vs. Zombies. And you can just completely abuse it as a program, you know. The second you alt-tab away to anything else, it pauses it and keeps it exactly where it was. And it's always saving your progress. It's always just beautifully coded.
Good. Craig?
I suppose the fact that most of the games I like are never the same by the time I finish with them. So Team Fortress 2 has been constantly updated. Mm-hmm. Just tweaking the fuck out of games, basically. You know, there's mods, there's the ability to change shit that I want.
Yeah.
My favourite thing at the moment is being able to play, because I've got two monitors on my desk, is to play a game in a window so that I can just move my mouse all the way over to Firefox.
Yeah.
Quickly email something and go back to my game straight away without any pause. I could even watch a movie on my second monitor.
I've really got used to having multiple monitors.
Yeah.
It's just pure genius, isn't it?
I just have control over whatever I do, really, with a PC. Yeah.
I think that's the that's what I was going to say, is that because you're not limited to what the console manufacturer has decided is a feature that they can kind of put into the box, you can improvise your own solutions to specific problems.
Yeah. So, it's good, because we have a lot more problems.
Yeah, well, it is. But so, I mean, I was thinking about the kind of WoW guild, and, you know, we created a guild, and that's fine. But then gradually, the guild has branched off, off their own bat, really, to set up certain things, like a Flickr pool for all their screenshots, and a Last.fm group, so everyone can kind of listen to the same music. And they've kind of got their own forum, and like a TeamSpeak server. And, you know, none of these... A guild needs a forum, and a guild... kind of needs a screenshot pool as well, and a guild, because you're mates, you want to listen to the same music and stuff like that, and you want an IRC channel outside of the game, and you want a kind of messenger list. And if you're on a console, you don't get that. You don't have it in the same place. Maybe eventually you'll try and work it out on the PC or kind of sort it out as well, but it's not built into the very kind of machine that you're playing the game on. And I just think it's absolutely brilliant that this kind of, it's like little improvisation that anyone can do to just kind of make their gaming a little bit better.
I mean,
it's gaming jazz.
When they do take a step forward on consoles, you see the PlayStation Network and the Xbox Live and the NXE late last year, you know, it's such a huge deal for them to do it, and they still don't move ahead that far.
Yeah.
You know, we're just we're just miles ahead in so many ways. And of course, all that stuff brings its own problems, and it makes PC gaming often a real challenge. But when you've got something sorted, it's so much more rewarding because you know you've been involved in making that experience. Yeah.
If
for
you're
yourself.
A PC gamer, you're a real picky bastard. That's the thing. Yeah. You know, you have to have it just your way, I think, and that's what the ability to do
it,
that. You know?
It does feel like
if we weren't hardcore gamers, we'd be console gamers.
Listening to some of the conversations coming out of GDC and the difficulties the console manufacturers are facing in terms of Christ, making a new Xbox or making a new PS3 is going to be really expensive, and there's no kind of financial guarantee. I honestly think like PC gaming's time is coming up again, and you know we are the solution to the problem that is games consoles are too expensive.
When you say we, like the four of us,
just us essentially.
Yeah, us here.
We're going to
wear tights and then pants over those tights and fix
capes.
No capes.
What?
You've seen The Incredibles, haven't you?
And The Watchmen.
What about a scarf?
You have a scarf.
That'll be my trademark.
Tights and a scarf.
I think though. A scarf is a good bit caught in a jet engine or a revolving
door.
That's
true, actually. A good hat, a cap.
I'll have a very strong neck.
But don't wear it backwards.
That'll be my superpower. The strongest neck in the world. Good. Excellent. Well, I'm glad we sorted that out. This is what they call putting the world to rights. Normally, it takes us a few litres of terrible wine. Excellent. So that's all about sort of 200th issue and what we've been doing and what's in it. What else are we going to talk about today?
Have a talk about what we've all been playing, really.
Okay.
I think you should start because you've been playing a big bad game.
I've been playing a hell of a lot of World of Warcraft, but obviously the release of Empire Total War, the release of any Total War game is probably one of the biggest landmarks in my gaming calendar. So when Empire came out, I was straight home. And in fact, I'd managed to avoid playing it at all before the release of the game. Never played it at a preview event, never had any code, didn't do the review. So it was a lovely surprise, most of it, for me. And as you'll read about in a forthcoming issue, I made a terrible mistake, which was thinking that I wouldn't be any good at it and starting a normal campaign. When in fact, if you've played any Total War games before, I'm not saying I'm great at Total War games, but if you've played them before, you must play them on hard. A hard campaign, because otherwise you'll never get attacked, and it's actually quite dull. But I did learn a lot, and I learned how it all works, so I'm going to start a new campaign. I'm going to be the Ottomans.
Yeah.
Because I think any civilization named after furniture is good for me.
You need a place to store your towels.
Indeed, yeah.
Is there a BD?
No.
Nation? Oh, no. Well, I'm not blaming it then.
Fair enough.
It's a good reason to dismiss it.
But, you know, everyone said, oh, what were you expecting from it? You know, did it live up to your expectations or you know, does it surprise you anyway? It hasn't really surprised me, apart from it being a bit easy on normal. It's exactly what I was expecting in a really good way, you know. not to be surprised is not a bad thing. I think that's true of a lot of strategy games.
I think PC Gamer's headline: another unsurprising game.
Yes, exactly as good standard as we expected it to be. There's your cover line, right?
Perfectly adequate.
Well, it's more than perfectly adequate. It is, you know, stunning. There's some beautiful things in there. I really like the campaign map. It's the best campaign map ever. The battles are, you know, just as good, and with some of the same flaws as before. And the campaign map still has some flaws, but it is, and there's so many things on the campaign map that are far superior to everything that's been done before.
It strikes me that, because I've started playing it as well, that the challenges every nation faces are far more detailed.
Yeah, they're much more distinct
than any other Total War game. So you're getting a very different game playing as Britain, as you will do as the author. Than you will do in the Ottoman Empire.
I think actually the only thing that did surprise me a little bit is that I felt that the emphasis, what Creative Assembly was saying early on was, you're not going to be running around painting the map your colour. When in fact, you kind of still are. The longer campaigns do still say you've got to take 35 territories or whatever. Yeah. So yes, I did rampage through Western Europe, and turned it red. But for some territories, you won't do that. I mean, starting as the Ottomans, you get about a dozen territories to begin with. It's going to be all about trade.
Yeah.
You know, it's about getting out of the Mediterranean, getting over to the Americas, getting out to India and setting up trade lanes and just piling in the money. So, yes, you will have a much more distinctive experience each time you pick a new civilization.
When you do a really important trade, does it switch to like a real-time trade mode where you have to move your ships across the sea? Trade the spice in real time. Unload all the crates yourself.
Yeah. kept the
this
money
from
on the
a
counter.
Man who's just been waffling on about a game called Plants vs. Zombies.
Do you remember the real
Do
time?
Not mock, sir. Do not mock.
It's not necessarily a mock. Do you remember Theme Park? Was it Theme Park on Theme Hospital as well that had real-time trading mini-games where you would reach out your hand to come with a deal, then the computer would come back and kind
was
of
it,
pass his hand
was
back,
it the
Trespass
Engine?
Kind of like, So it doesn't really work without the actual...
That's exactly how business deals work.
I don't remember that at all.
Don't you?
Which of us has been doing drugs?
No, but you just reach out your hand and then go up and then just put it
well, that's basically what the entire kind of mini-game was about, is, you know, you kind of... You put your hand out a little bit.
Just sounds like Trespass.
Wobbling around.
Yeah. And you slap yourself in the face.
Best game ever.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was good.
That's what I've been playing. Come on. Who's next? Tom, what have you been playing?
I've been playing, I think, probably everyone's favourite game in the world. Unreal Tournament 3.
You know I don't like Unreal Tournament.
Lots of people don't. This version has not been popular.
It's like Unreal turned up to 11, isn't it?
Yeah, it's absolutely awesome. I think it was always awesome, but the Titan Pack has made it even better.
Is it amazing, more awesomer? Or?
Yeah, I would say it's
so. This
awesome
is a free update for it, yep. With some
yep.
stuff.
It adds two new game modes, both of which are genius, and a mutator, which is a kind of a sort of official mod that you can add to any game mode, pretty much. And the two new modes are, one's called Greed, where every time someone dies, they drop a skull. There's two teams. And to score any points, you have to pick up a skull from either a friend or an enemy and take it to the enemy base. So it's like getting to the enemy flag, only as soon as you're there, you capture all your skulls, you get the points, and you're teleported back to your base. And what usually happens is you die before you get there, so you drop all the skulls you're carrying into their base. And they pick them all up and run back to your base. You kill them there, and you get this kind of back and forth where the skulls are just building up into this one enormous pool. And so most of the people you're killing are just dropping one because they haven't got any, except the one inside their head.
And, it's a bit like Conkers. When you kill a sixer, you get those 6 points.
Yeah, and then suddenly you just nail this one guy and 160 skulls come out of him. And if anyone can cap those, then they've won the game in one move. And so it just gets really, really tense. And it's absolutely beautiful. Just genius.
We're going to be pulling the readers at this one.
The other one is called Betrayal, and it took me ages to work out what was going on in this because it comes with, like, no, as far as I know, no documentation. I can, nothing really teaches you how to play it. Betrayal starts out as a deathmatch game where no one's allied, and I'm still not quite sure exactly what the criteria are. But after you've kind of got a few kills, you'll find yourself teamed up with someone, so they'll come up in blue, and it's insta-jib. So you've got this shock rifle, just kills anyone in one hit, and everyone's got that. Everyone spawns with it. And as soon as you die, you respawn, so there's no death penalty whatsoever. But as you're killing people, you're not earning any points. It's all the points you earn are just going to a pot, and you can't claim those points until you betray the person you've been teamed up with. And to do that, you have to press right-click, which is a different kind of insta-jib shock beam, which won't hurt enemies but will kill your friend immediately. And so the more points you score as a team, the more people will be added to your team. And so you end up with, like, 5 people on the team if none of you betray each other. Okay. And you'll be racking up a ridiculous pot, so you have, like, you know, 35 kills in the pot. If any one of you betrays any one of them, they get all of that, and everyone else gets nothing. And so just, obviously, like, you want to betray as quickly as possible. But then if you do that and 2 other people are working together better than you, they'll always win, so you're always going to lose because you're betraying each other too much. So, yeah, it's just beautiful.
So it's...
It sounds altogether too complicated for me.
It sounds a bit like The Weakest Link.
It's something... It is a little bit. But it's something that you learn...
Games based on quiz shows.
The Weakest Link gun.
It's something that you learn by playing, and it becomes really intuitive after a while. Like, you start to see, like, 7 kills in the pot. He's going to betray me any fucking second. And then the mutator is something that you can add to... Actually, you can't add it to betrayal mode because it's insta-jib, so it wouldn't help. But in Deathmatch or Capture the Flag or Warfare or the new Greed mode, you can add the Titan mode, which is after a certain number of kills, you build up your Titan meter, and when it's full, you can press R to turn into a Titan, which just, like, makes you 3 times as big, 8 times as tough, and gives you a rapid-firing homing rocket launcher.
Sweet.
Which also does double damage.
The noise it makes is awesome.
But the bad side is you can't fit through doors.
Yeah, you can't fit through doors, you can't pick up skulls in green mode or flags in other modes or get inside vehicles because you're too huge, but you're just mowing everyone down. So what happens in a team game like Greed or Capture the Flag is you get to a point where you're not able to get to the enemy base.
Yeah.
So you turn into a Titan and kind of pave the way, and then your friends do the actual business of capping and, you know, strategic stuff, so you have to work together a bit more. But if you do really well as a Titan, if you get a load of kills, which is not unusual since you're like 16 feet tall, then you can turn into a Goliath, which makes you like so big you don't even fit into most rooms in Unreal Tournament. Like, you're just this absolute kind of skyscraper of a dude, and makes you even more powerful, and you know, everything's just scaled up ridiculously, but you'll die in 30 seconds. And you'll die with the force of a Redeemer explosion.
Awesome.
So obviously it all sounds like grossly unfair, but you've got to remember that you're not the only person who can do this. Everyone can do it.
Yeah.
And so at the time when you reach that threshold, if you've been the best player, then you'll be the only one who can do it. But if everyone else has been kind of roughly the same as you, you know, as soon as you go into Titan mode, you're probably going to be running to other Titans. Okay. So you have, like, quite often it'll be you're the best player on your team and someone else is the best player on their team. You both turn into Titans at the same time. So you're like clashing in the middle of the arena and everyone else is fighting around.
So have you seen that happen a couple of times?
Yeah, it's awesome.
Excellent. Wicked. That sounds quite spectacular. Craig?
I've been really boring, just playing TF2 again.
Yes, again.
Yeah.
Constantly for a year.
Pretty much.
How's the scout pack?
It's okay, it's settled down. Everyone was trying to get the scout pack stuff from before. And,
yes, I saw a few servers full of scouts.
I joined an achievement server to get mine because I didn't enjoy the achievements that they set out to provide the unlock. So I joined a couple of achievement servers, which are just full of absolute wankers. Absolutely. Just people. I mean, the idea is you join and everyone helps themselves, but of course a couple of people join to be dicks. And the thing is, if you do that when I'm around, I'm pathological. I will hunt you down.
You have a little list, don't you? A little black book of.
I don't need it. It's all up here.
You scare me.
So like, I joined one, and within 10 seconds, a guy had stabbed me. And like, for the next 3 hours in that server, I just killed him every time I saw him. Yeah, I've been playing TF2 on our server, actually. Mostly join about 9 o'clock at night, kick someone off,
so
I can get on. But what I do, I'm very fair. I arrange it by score, and then I see who's the person who's been on with the longest time, but with the smallest score. Because someone's been on there because we haven't got auto kick enabled, so someone will join and then go away in AFK and be there for zero, but they'll be there for 2 hours, so I'll kick that person. Yeah. And join
we should just put auto kick on the server.
That's just too complicated. I can't be bothered.
Dude, it'd be like dead easy.
No, it involves.
Did I see
stuff.
Something about some kind of automated server ranking system?
Yeah. I read that and forgot how they're going to do it.
It's according to. It's to do
basically people lie. Some server owners figured out a way to show that to put people on the server when there's not. So you join a server, I think it's 22 out of 24 there, and it'll be you on the server. So what Valve are doing is, I think that it judges how long people stay in the server.
Yeah.
So if you join and then quit out, that server will get bumped down the rankings until you just never be seen. So
it's a problem with pretty much all online games that the server can just lie to the game. There's no way that they can verify that what it's saying about who's on there and what game mode it's playing, all that
stuff
is true.
That's actually what stopped me playing UT3 is that whenever I join a server, I think, oh, 22 people, brilliant, I'll have a good game. But they'll just all be bots.
What's sad is sometimes it takes me like 15 minutes to realise that. I'm like, yes, I just impact hammer that guy to smithereens. I just cap for my team.
Fuck you, man.
I'm the best fucking player here. Oh, I'm the only player.
Why is no one else talking?
Yeah. So they're doing that, but I don't know if they've implemented it yet.
Well, I guess we'll see how it works. Yeah. Interesting. Well, I hope they rank ours highly.
Yeah, I should do pretty well, because, I mean, people just stay on there forever, don't
they? Yeah, we've got one guy right now called Hunter Dot, who's just, he's like a one-man army, it's embarrassing. Everyone tries to join his team, otherwise your team's just going to lose.
We could ban him.
No. People have rage quit because a couple of days ago we had some hackers on. We're just joining, and then I come along and go, haha, you're banned, fuck you. But people have been like, oh my god, you have to ban Hunter, he's clearly hacking, and he's not, it's just really fucking good.
Cool.
Shit. Yeah.
And I've been trying to play Fear 2, but it's
if you can get
so
some screenshots of him, we'll make him player of the month.
Yeah, probably can, he's on there every night.
And Tim, you've been playing
World of Warcraft.
Why don't you sound really excited when you say
that? Because, well, if I sound excited about it, people will just go, oh, Tim's talking about World of Warcraft again.
Whereas if you sound bored, they'll be so enthused.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't really follow your logic. But anyway.
Hit level 80 and I've started raiding with the guild. And I main tanked Naxxramas last night, which is a hell of an experience.
I just don't know what
speaking
that
speaking in tongues again, isn't
it? We're actually doing end game stuff for the first time ever in PC Gamer.
But you guys keep on having conversation in the office where I just like just this fridge buzz noise
would you like
that I can
to
hear.
Explain exactly what I did last
night. Not particularly.
About,
no.
Talking about DPS dots and
I just think you've gone too far.
More dots.
Essentially, I was responsible for the lives of 9 other people and. Despite the fact we died about 6 times within half an hour.
So you failed?
I
failed repeatedly.
I did keep seeing in the guild list, oh, Tim's in Naxxramas. Oh, hang on, he's actually outside. That means he's died and he's having to run back in again.
But finally, because it's the first time I've done it at this kind of scale, and we finally got the hang of it, and we cleared about half of it, which is really good. Got some
clear. I mean, you just cleaned up after.
It's pretty much
janitorial work.
World of Warcraft janitorial work.
He's cleaning up and getting Professor Plums.
See, I'm the security, yeah, essentially. But it was brilliant, and it is one of the kind of the. I think it's difficult to kind of get across how much fun it is for 10 guys to go into something together, work together to defeat something that's really hard, and everyone work to the kind of or play to the best of their abilities and achieve something. You know, it's a really kind of powerful thing.
It is. It's absolutely brilliant. And I hit level 80 last Saturday, which is 4 days ago, and since then I've logged like 23 hours, and I would have stopped playing World of Warcraft by now, having hit the level cap, if I wasn't in a guild, because it's really hard and not very rewarding to do endgame stuff with strangers. And it's very difficult to get into those situations anyway. If you've got a guild of a bunch of people who say, hey, should we do X, Y, and Z? That's not the name of a dungeon, by the way.
That should be. That'd be brilliant.
On Thursday night at 7
o'clock.
Main
of the Maths Lord.
Can we do yada, yada, yada?
Then we do it. So it's really good. And we should say hello to the World of Warcraft guild.
Yeah. Hi, guys.
Who's our favourite player?
All of them.
Oh, God.
Equally. Not our favourite player?
No.
Not even Aki?
Well, he's a nice guy, but he's not a favourite.
Well, that's the worst.
There's 500 of the buggers.
Actually, he's a right cock last night. He's a real dick. So we're not going to talk about him.
Okay, fair enough. But it's all good fun, and you guys should join us. In fact, Tom did for a bit.
Yep.
Are you stopped now?
Yep. Good. The guild was great, though, that wasn't.
Yeah, the guild didn't break. Good, excellent. Well, speaking of players and people that we play with, should we talk about community news? That's what's written down here, but I don't know.
Can I read some tweets?
Yeah, so
I'm going to read some tweets. Yeah, so
we had the grand plan that this morning we would ask people for questions for the podcast, and then over the course of the morning people would send them in and we'd have a few to read out, and we completely forgot. And then at lunch break we thought, okay, well, there's an hour left, maybe we can get a couple. We got like 26 in half an hour. So I think we should run through them as quickly as we can.
Okay.
So this Twitter thing, that's like pigeon post, right? It's like back in the old days.
It's a bit.
So how it works? They're brought by tweeting birds?
Yes.
There is a PC Gamer Twitter account with some 700 odd followers. You can follow it and you'll find out what we do. And
what's the name?
And how do they do it?
It's some random shit that we say.
They send us a carrier pigeon to
Twitter.com/PC.
Yeah, twitter.com/PC_gamer.
Yeah.
Ross just needs to stop talking about Twitter now.
Yeah,
essentially.
And you should both follow us and also reply to us, which just involves putting @PCGamer at the start of your message, which is what all these people have done. And now they're going to be read on air. Wouldn't you like to be them?
On air.
Yes.
Okay, a man named Kieran Gillen from London says,
"Who he?"
This is the first question we got. Do you choose fast but quick characters or slow but weak characters?
Oh, good question.
Kieran, your question makes no sense.
No, slow but weak every time.
Slow but weak.
Slow but weak.
It's slow but weak, isn't it?
It's an old D&D joke.
We couldn't figure it out, so because we're not that nerdy.
Yeah, well, we are.
Duncan, this is a little bit tricky because people's real names have been merged with their nicknames in this printout. So this man could be called Duncan Gear Radio Edit, but I think there's probably a dividing line up somewhere there.
Radio Edit is on my... Oh, he's a Radiohead message board user. He's following me around.
Games Windows Live have a future, or is it never going to be able to compete with Steam? I don't think those are mutually exclusive. I think it doesn't have a future, it does have a future, but it won't be able to compete with Steam, right?
I don't think it has a future.
I don't think,
I'm not sure it does compete with Steam.
They're not going to give up, though. Microsoft is just crazy.
Well, they actually are trying to compete with Steam, quite clearly. But
well, that's not going to happen.
They said they're going to sell games over it, though, haven't they?
But no one's going to use it as a multiplayer thing. So.
Meteoracle asks, what are your thoughts on Live? Will it work as a concept/platform? Too many questions about it, not enough characters.
Characters?
That is a limitation of Twitter.
Characters. Yes, no, there are...
Will it work, I think, is the key one.
Well, speaking generally, there are more questions than answers about it at the moment, aren't there? It's a great theory.
Live is a service where you play games on basically a PC that is in a server farm somewhere and is super powerful. So on your shitty little MacBook or EPC, you can connect
to... Or TV screen, in fact.
You just connect to this place, and as long as you have streaming the games internet connection,
given that I couldn't fucking stream YouTube this morning, I think the chances of that working are practically
zero. It is a kind of a pipe dream, and there are some interesting concerns about it in terms of the technology involved, because it's not just a case of transmitting that data downstream, it's going from looking at a game being played at HD resolution, which is 120, 1280x760 at 60 frames per second and encoding that into a video format that can be translated. If they could do it at the rate they're claiming, then it would be an absolutely unprecedented breakthrough in video encoding technology that would make them billions in that industry. So you have to wonder why they'd be doing a game service.
Well, I mean, it's been gone for they've been trying to get it to work for 7 years. They have actually created a new technology, they've claimed. So, you know, we are not used to what they've made so far. And people who have played it said it works okay. There's still compression going on at the moment. But, you know, as a first attempt.
I think they'll be burned as witches if they can make it work.
But there are like three other people doing the same thing right now.
Yeah. It is, I mean, basically it's an awesome direction.
It's clearly, it's clearly where everything's going.
And I've always thought that, you know, we will get to a point where personal computers are a complete anachronism.
They act like terminals rather than self-contained.
Just ways to connect machines to the real computer.
Yep. Good question.
Yeah. Yes.
Robert Coggin asks, are Craig and Graham the same person or do I just suck with accents?
You suck with accents. Graham's from Larkhall, I'm from Claybank. Come on.
Well, there's your answer for Graham.
Graham's about 3 feet taller than Craig and a lot hairier.
Steve-O Fights with Bulls asks.
I don't think that's his real name.
No, you'd never call that.
Question for the podcast. What's your guy's best fist pump moment in a game?
We have to be... Maybe is that when we've all done something awesome at the same time and we go, yeah.
We all jump up in the air and it like freezes.
That is a good question.
Surely that's when we all won that Halo competition together.
Yeah, that... Oh shit, I remember that. I was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, we were brilliant that day.
Were you not there?
Oh, yes. Yes, we beat the rest of...
Sounds like it sucks.
Halo.
we kicked ass.
Oh, that's fucking brilliant. That
moving swiftly on.
What's it called? The gulch?
It was Blood Gulch.
Yes.
We need to do that again, actually. Let's take on Future at something.
Yeah, okay. And we'll get, on our own terms, though.
We'll get Stables in our team as well, because he's really good.
Mia V asks, do you think that any video game to movie translation has done justice to the game, or have they just been big budget canon rape fests?
I'm glad it asked.
She's a girl.
We are doing a feature on that in a forthcoming issue.
Funny you should ask, Mia.
So why don't we save the answers for that until then?
And I'll skip our next one because it's about basically the same thing. Joe Russell wants to know, listen to this very carefully. How much wood can a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood?
Seven.
How much wood can a woodchuck chuck? I think you mean would a woodchuck chuck.
Yeah.
So we're not answering that on the basis of that.
Good point.
It's the wrong question.
Yeah, get it right.
Emmanuel, oh my god. Let's just say Petty. what's better, Valve's CEG DRM or Goo?
We don't know.
Goo would be the Stardock thing, right?
Yes. We have no idea.
The answer is yes.
They're being, both companies, well, certainly Valve at least, are being very vague about what the hell it means.
Actually, to be honest, how the fuck are we supposed to know?
Yeah. Well, it hasn't been implemented.
We've got that angle.
But it's a bit early days.
But let's share what little we do know, which is that basically Valve are being weirdly vague about it, and I really take issue with Valve's press release being called Valve renders DRM obsolete, and then explaining how their new DRM system will work, because that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, we're not going to put forward answers based on press releases.
Very well. That's the official position.
Yep.
Ben Hallop, maybe, asks, is it true that Ross has his cellar designed by Joseph Fritzl?
Brilliant.
Wow.
Christ. I'm not even smiling at that.
Yeah, he is actually
dark,
genuinely
man.
Offended.
Okay, let's move on. let's say no.
Did he do good work?
Fantastic.
Mandrill asks, which of the two MMO player archetypes do the podcasters consider themselves to be, PvP or Care Bear? I'm certainly a Care Bear.
I don't like PvP at the moment.
I'm a Care Bear. Well, I'm a PvE. But I wouldn't describe myself exactly as a Care Bear.
I suppose I'm PvP, but...
Yeah. Or RP, actually. Prithee, good sir, come to the inn for a pint of ale.
I just say what I normally say in World of Warcraft, but then... I just say my normal line, then add Mon on the end, because I'm a troll.
Obviously.
Whereas Owen, who's playing a Tauren, just says what he wants to say, and then Moo at the end.
That's RP, that is.
Another on-live question, let's get that. Another Valve DRM question. Let's skip that.
It's all very topical, aren't they?
Luke Everson.
We want sarcastic questions, please.
Why do game develops develop for PC, not Mac?
Again, is it simply grammatically incorrect? We're not going to have it.
Is it simply history, fan base, easy development, and gamers? I have a little insight into this in that we talked to Valve a bit about their experience trying to make games for Mac. And basically, every year, someone from Apple comes down and says, oh, we really want to get games properly onto the Mac this time, so we'll work with you, we'll give you everything you need to do this. and they say, yeah, let's do that, and then they never hear from Apple again. Yeah. And no matter how many times they pester them, they just Apple just forget about it.
My view on it is that if consumers want to play games on a desktop computer, they will buy a PC. And if they want to do other things, they will buy a Mac. And those people with Macs don't then want to play PC games. There is a small percentage who buck that trend, but it's a small percentage. You know, we've seen the number of people with PCs out there, and it's just colossal. There is really no point chasing the Mac market. Some companies specialize in conversions, and fair play to them. I'm sure they do a good business, but to make them from scratch for Macs is madness. Too small a market.
Tom Mayo, who we should disclose works for Electronic Arts, who published Battleforge.
Asks, is it that one?
An old friend of PC Gamer.
Asks, which Battleforge army do you prefer? Frost or Shadow?
Oh, Stooge.
I can actually answer this one because I play Battleforge. Nature, obviously. And I think he agrees with me on this. They're absolutely amazing. They just, all they
like
just own. Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah.
It's worked.
Let's all talk about Battlefield and how great it is.
To be fair,
here's a question from Gabe Newell. How much do you love Valve?
To be fair, you did send me the anti that type of person game to see Battleforge, and I came back saying the person who likes those games would find it really good.
At the same event, a journalist for a magazine that will not be named because it would just get them in trouble fell fast asleep and slept through the entire presentation.
I know who that is.
Can you write it? Can you mouth it to me? Who it was?
We'll just turn the volume up.
Yeah. Excellent.
Also, we'll run this thing called through a program called the Levelator, which detects low volume levels and boosts them until you can hear them.
Yeah, sorry,
but no one will know who he is.
Sorry, about that. Yeah.
Because
oh, yeah. Dude, for fuck's sake!
Oh yeah, would you like to hear my impression of a unit from Battleforge?
Yes, definitely.
Can we have a regular Tom's impression?
Okay. Oh yeah.
Thornbach!
I don't know, that's probably quite
They're
good,
all fairly similar. Yeah.
Well, if you play Battleforge, you might have appreciated that.
More questions?
You probably didn't, because actually if you play Battleforge, you realise how bad that was.
Let's have three more, and then we're going to move on.
Ooh,
we're quite close to the end.
Have we got three?
Well, we got...
There's more than three, but...
Three pages. More.
Okay, I'll skip some. Someone called John Walker asks, what's your favourite type of gameplay?
I like the kinds of gameplay that have really good gameplay.
Immediately afterwards, someone called Alec Meir asks, why do you keep giving John Walker work?
Because he's better than Alec Meir.
But to be fair, they're both pretty rubbish.
Seniath asks, any plans for another Showdown or Showdown-like event?
Ah, good question.
That we can't answer.
Well, I can't answer it today. Put it that way.
Thoughtful hum in response to that.
Yeah.
PC Zone's Will Porter asks,
oh, awesome.
How good are the graphics?
How good are the graphics?
Seven.
I think the graphics ability is high. Is that our position?
Seven's
of what, our podcast?
It's a general question.
Oh,
he's not,
well,
PC Zone's Will Porter.
Graphics ability high.
That's true, actually. Freelance Will Porter, I'm sorry. Yeah. Former editor of PC Zone.
Yes.
Will Porter, who's been,
killed?
Yeah.
Tickled on his hip.
He likes the discs, shall we say.
Oh, well, he's you know, we've got to eat. Go on then, one more.
Couple more.
No, one more. We've had four more.
Oh, so close to the end. There's some good ones in the last.
Okay, cool.
This is fun.
Okay,
fun.
All right, but this is going to be a very long podcast.
Doesn't matter. This People should be the podcast.
Yeah, we've got work to do.
Okay. PC Zone Steve Hoggarty asks, what's your favourite in-game cloud? I can answer this, because there's a game called Cloud in which you accumulate clouds and drag them around to... like score points, and white clouds are good and dark clouds are bad, and you have to surround dark clouds with white clouds by dragging them around to consume the dark clouds, and when they mix they cause like torrential rain, and this one time I had a huge cloud, so that was my favourite cloud.
S29 Retaliator, they're flat polygons.
Yeah.
The skies above Hellfire Peninsula in Burning Crusade, World of Warcraft.
Far Cry 2's got some really pretty clouds.
Good. Well, I think we've answered that.
Yeah. Aha, fuck you. Yeah.
That's
in
PC
your
game
of face difference. PC Zone. Former editor of PC Zone, Will Porter, asks, what's the greatest war texture of all time?
Do we have any actual readers, or is it just people who, you know, work?
No, these are
us?
Freelancers who are sitting at home at the time.
Well,
so,
Steve isn't. These should be working.
What's the greatest war texture of all time? I can also answer this, but no one else has any suggestions.
That one over there.
There was one in Duke Nukem 3D that was kind of an alien, swirly, tentacle type thing, and I spent ages when I was making levels for Duke Nukem 3D trying to get it to line up when I was making a kind of curvy wall, because each face of the curve would be treated as a different surface, and so the texture would restart from the start of the edge, so you'd see it just repeated over and over again. And then I discovered years later that there's if you look at the wall and you press full stop, it syncs them all automatically.
That's a misspent childhood. That is tragic.
6 years of my life.
I really like the insanely bump map textures in Oblivion in the dungeons, where they've just gone massively overboard with the...
Got a better one than that. Serious Sam.
This is a good question, Will.
First one to use this incredible... not sure what it was called at the time, but it's basically mega texturing. Not mega texturing, but the precursor to that. So you go up something and it would look three-dimensional, but it was one texture.
You're fucking nuts.
Lastly, London's Kieran Gillen asks, how do you feel about...
Kieran Gillian, yeah. With a
How do you feel about the New Games Journalism's 5th anniversary? We don't know what that is.
Yeah. I've never heard of it. Who's he? Right then, let's move on.
That was probably every podcast for doing that. That was awesome.
All right.
Yes, if you're envious of the many people who've been read out on air, then please just send us a reply on Twitter.
You don't need to be a friend.
Now, and we'll just put it in the bank until next month.
We'll ignore it. Good. Right.
He's a bastard.
Well, we'll ignore it until we next do the podcast.
Just because he doesn't understand Twitter.
He's angry.
It's something to do with talking.
Okay. Do you want to talk about Peace Gamer 2.0?
Is it the way to talk to Stephen?
Actually, no, shit. Fuck. We need to...
Shit, fuck.
That's entirely unnecessary swearing. I'll tolerate a little bit here, but
Some important dates to put in your diary. The finals of our Counter-Strike TF2, Day of Defeat Source, and other game are taking place on the 23rd to the 25th of May. People will win some cash prizes, courtesy of the UK Esports Authority.
Association. That's the official, biggest kind of official style games competition.
It's gaming's FA Cup.
We accidentally
have
the biggest Counter-Strike League in the UK.
It's more like Premiership because the FA Cup's knockout.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Secondly, Season 2 will be starting very shortly and sign-ups run from the 15th of May to the 19th of June. So...
UKESA.com for all this stuff.
And we won't be helping Jesse ever out as a practice match again.
Yes. We got humiliated
last time we do that.
Yes. Never again.
I think they've done quite well. They've lost most of their matches.
They've got a great name. One of their names is the J-Cats, which is a great name.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
We taught them how to lose.
So competition is strong. And I'm actually really chuffed we've got this stuff going on.
It's all good, isn't it? It's all happening. Right, so... should we talk about that then?
PC Gamer 5.0.
Yeah.
So regular listeners to the podcast may have wondered where I've been for a few months. Obviously, I was in the last one, but for a few before then, I was not.
Yeah, since Ross has been gone, it's been like a monkey.
Yes.
A circus in here.
It's just screeching monkey. I couldn't bear to listen to most of them. The sheer horror of the illegality of a lot of what was going on. The sheer filth. Anyway, so the point is, I've been... working in a dark corner on some changes to PC Gamer. Now, it's all big news to me and to us because we're very close to it, but you may not think it's all that dramatic in the end. The point is, the issue that comes out in May, so the one after the new one...
All Xbox, all the time.
Yeah, it's all knitting. knitting and PSP games.
An iPhone as well, we've got an iPhone section.
We've got a Cooking Mama section. And... reader pets and softcore pornography at the back.
Reader pets in home knitted garments.
Yeah.
Playing their DSs.
I do want to buy that magazine. That's brilliant.
Fuck it. Let's go back and change it. The last 4 months of wasted time. We've been changing the look of the magazine mostly. There are some new things coming in content wise, and some old stuff has been brutally cut. But mostly it's new stuff and it's good stuff. We're trying to make it better. I hope you'll like it. I don't want to say too much about it because it's still a few weeks away. But
there's some terrible news.
Oh, God, what is it?
Devil's Advocate remains.
Devil's Advocate remains, yeah. Except without the horns.
We still haven't brought back Gamer Snap, though. So that's
no, Gamer Snap is dead.
I'm really pissed off, actually. Where the fuck's readers' desks?
Yeah.
See, this is what I mean about not saying too much.
It's in flux.
It's not dead yet.
Is it not dead?
Well, it's not dead yet. It may come back. It gets complicated. I can't talk about this stuff on the podcast.
Dude. Guess the game's still in.
No, it's not. It's not in there, Tom. And you know why it's not. Because it's called something else.
Okay.
Is it?
Yes!
Basically, Ross spent 4 months thinking up new names for the old sections.
Yeah, but we've forgotten them all.
These guys have come along and basically mocked all my genius ideas. And they're all going to get fired.
don't stop drawing awesome screenshots. No, that's what I'm trying to say.
Please continue sending in pictures of your desks, if only because they get me.
And, or your mum's.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Anyway, all that good stuff is, you'll see a new issue, the issue 201, the first of the new design comes out on May the 7th, and you can see it all there. The current issue, the new issue, which is out in April the... when is it out?
9th.
9th?
I thought it was 9th.
I thought it was 12th, but that's my dad's birthday.
Which says 7th, 9th, 12th.
Is Sunday, it's Easter Sunday.
Okay, it's my dad's birthday.
So it must be the 10th. 9th, it's the Thursday, right. It's April the 9th.
Very proud you didn't need to use your fingers
we're,
to do
what
that.
Professionals we are. We're brilliant, aren't we? So a new issue comes out there, and that's issue 200. That's with Bioshock on the cover. 200 reasons to buy to love PC games. And
treasure you, you it and can see, keep it in.
You can see the new logo, in fact, that's on the next month page. You can see what a little bit about what your new PC game will look like from the month following.
You have a month to get over the shock.
The Bioshock, you might say.
If you wanted to confuse people.
Reader's mums would be a really horrible section of a magazine. Don't
they? Oh, man. I mean, we've got some older readers as well.
I know, exactly.
Come on, it'd be like grannies.
Just taste this.
Shall we do all over?
No. No. I don't want to do reader's mums.
Did you hear that, readers? Yeah, Ross does not want to do your mums.
Every time we talk about mums, it all goes wrong. So there should just be a rule on the door when you come into the podcast studio, do not mention the M word. Oh, Jesus.
Do you call your mum mummy? Or mum?
I think we need to wrap up this podcast immediately.
This ends now.
Mother, actually.
Just mother.
Mother, because I was brought up correctly. You call yours mom, like an American. Like some kind of high school...
Well, like someone from Birmingham, is that?
Oh, mom? Yeah. They don't call him mum.
What? He's now saying, oh, yeah, but he thought of thinking about his mum.
I think we've run out of things to talk about, haven't we? Should we call it a day and go back and do some work?
Yep.
There's a rousing kind of agreement there. Good, so do make sure you go out and pick up the new issue. That's the 200th issue of PC Gamer with Bioshock 2 on the cover. It's all good. And we shall...
It's not actually all good. There's some kind of mediocre bits.
Few bits.
Oh yeah, I should probably say that Tim's been pretty much in charge of the magazine for the past 3 or 4 months.
Yeah.
But we'll be getting
bringing the mediocrity.
Yeah. So it's all his fault. Good. Well, thank you for joining us this time, and we hope you will listen to the next PC Gamer podcast coming to you in early May. Goodbye for now.
Bye.
Bye.